Hello, Whiskey Ginger listeners. Welcome back or welcome to the show. Like it, subscribe it, pass it around, tell a friend, do whatever you got to do. I'm here to tell you real quick, I am on a short little tour. I'm putting together my new hour, so come see me. I'm only doing a couple of club dates. I'm going to be in Houston at the Houston Improv. I'll be in Tampa, Florida right after that at the Funny Bone. I'll be at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. Then Zany's in Nashville, Tennessee. And Dallas, Texas, I'll be at the Addison Improv, and San Francisco, California, over at Cobb's. So once again, get those tickets. Go to AndrewSantino.com. I'm trying to put together the run before I start traveling more. So Houston, Tampa, Phoenix, Nashville, Dallas, and San Francisco. Come see your boy, AndrewSantino.com for those tickets, AndrewSantino.com.
In here, we pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests when I meet him once again today. It's Joe DeRosa, fresh off of a cruise tour. I didn't know you were a cruise comic. I had no idea you were a cruise comic.
I'm only a Joker's cruise comic.
No, you're a cruise comic. Everyone's saying that online. All the blogs are saying comic. Yeah. Here he goes. We're already started.
I know.
We're already started.
The audience doesn't
Joe,
know.
Joe, it's only because... Okay, here, I'll tell the audience.
Wait. The audience doesn't know real quick before you keep
talking.
We're
very good friends and we're just joking around.
Yeah.
He knows I love
him. But that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say the audience doesn't know what a cruise comic is. You're saying it as
if they do.
Average person just knows
these
what
these guys
that
are
means.
Comedy fans and they understand.
Okay,
so actually that's a for those that don't know. Explain
it's,
what a cruise
it's a
comic
massive
is.
Insult. Sorry that any cruise comics are listening. It's a massive insult because here's what happens. When you do, traditionally, cruise ship comedy means you have to be as broad as humanly possible because you can't offend anybody or whatever. So it's viewed by a lot of people as like death. Like it's
Because you have to live on cruises for, I think, arguably 20 to 30 weeks of the year.
Pays very well.
Yeah, but you don't get off. You have to live on a cruise for the rest of your life.
That is a very different thing from playing the Impractical Jokers Eric Andre cruise. Which
either
is
way, you're still a cruise comic
a
in my
a fucking party, and you can say whatever you want, and you're with all your best friends.
Still That's a cruise really comic. Fun. Cruise comic Joe DeRosa, ladies and gentlemen.
Tom Cruise comic. I do all Tom Cruise
all
material.
Gay shit. So you kissing guys in the middle of the act. Give me your best. Obviously, I'm kidding. People don't know. Joe and I are good buddies, and boy, oh boy, do we love to rib it up at each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of our love.
I do.
I'm a little annoyed at you because you look good lately. I'm the one that's been exercising. You've just been losing weight because you're just cruising through life.
A disease of some kind.
You think you're sick?
I don't feel sick, but I don't know. No, I told you I started doing testosterone.
The kid is on the tea. How many milligrams of tea are you on?
It's not that that's... That's a weird way to put it.
It's not a dose pill? It's not a pill dose?
It's an injection.
Oh, I thought you do pills.
Some people do, but I was advised that's you don't want it going through your liver like that.
Right, it does. It's harder on you. Well, you don't want it going through your liver.
No, I don't.
That thing's busy
enough.
As fuck.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Your liver just piles of paperwork, and then tea comes in. You're like, dude, I cannot.
My liver is like that... My liver is like that. Remember that goblin in Harry Potter that works at like the post with all the piles of shit?
That's your
that's
liver.
That's my liver. It's just
no more, please.
Your liver is Milton from Office Space. Remember when they put him in the basement? He's like, please, no more. If I could, they're just stacking on him. So you take an injection what every week?
Three
times a week.
Yeah, I do it myself.
Do you get amped from it? You feel a little bolt in
the
morning.
No, there's a version of testosterone that crosses into like.
Steroid.
Yeah. That's not what I do. My testosterone count was low. The clinician I work with said we have to get it to this number, which is the normal number.
Do you remember the number?
Yeah, it was 750.
What is it now?
That's the normal number.
Oh, what was yours?
I was at like 140 or something.
Whoa. So you were like one fifth of what you should be.
Yeah, and she's like, this happens with guys your age. And she goes, and most people in the medical community will say to you, yeah. Welcome to your 40s.
Well, see, now I want to know what mine is because now I got scared.
You got to get tested.
I did. I did do my. We did testosterone.
Oh, you're looking up your blood?
Yeah, I did it. Oh, I have it on my thing right here.
I thought you were texting. I was like, wow, this guy. Really...
Why would I do that? No. I'm sorry.
Really
I apologize for having the phone up, but no, I want to look up mine because
you
said you're. So, what was your number?
It was 150 or something when I got tested, and now it's 750. It's literally like spot on.
five.
See, that's not that low.
Yeah. What is it supposed to be? 700?
She said like norm, like 750-ish is like the kind of average, you know.
This is so great. It says adult male, anywhere between 200 to 1,000 NGDLs. Adult female should be 10 to 83 NGDLs, depending on who you ask in this society.
But here's the thing. When you ask me, does it get me amped?
Yeah, do you get a little juice from it at all?
No. But what it does is, and I'm not exaggerating, I feel exactly the way I felt when I was in college. I never...
Say no more.
...exercised, yeah. ever. I was never an exercise guy. I never played sports, obviously.
Yeah.
I was always a guy that enjoyed throwing them back, smoking a few stiggies, you know, having a good time, and kind of eating...
Whatever you want.
Not whatever I want. I try to watch what I eat now, but like, but the point is like, yeah, not following a strict diet. And I feel like I'm back in that place of like, I mean, if I have a night of drink and I still wake up at like 7 a.m. and I'm like, all right, fuck it, man. I'm awake, you know? Wow. But I'm not like, you know?
Right.
And if I eat a bad meal, I don't all of a sudden feel like total dog shit or gain 2 pounds.
God, I gotta overnight get on tea. I'm getting on it.
It just kind of brought my body back to being like, and then also too, it just kind of tightens you up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So like, I still have little tits.
You do have little baby tits, little A's, little tiny tits.
You know, and a gut, but I mean, it's like, but it just starts to pull it all in. Like, it starts to pull this shit in, the stuff that starts to fall as you get older.
Could you? So you don't want to exercise at all?
I do want to. I was for a minute, and I just need to start again.
We should.
So,
could you imagine, dude, you, if you exercised, you'd be fucking like an A-lister. You know how hot you would be if you exercised? A little bit. Because you're already in fine shape. Imagine if you tightened it up even more.
I was doing 3 days a week. I was doing this upper body thing.
What are we doing? Let's do it.
It was 15 minutes.
Let's get back.
I got to start. I don't know why I'm not doing it.
Well, because you're fine. It doesn't. So it obviously doesn't matter. So what's the difference?
I'm so lazy. I hate it. The dragging out of the mat and putting it on the floor and picking, when you have to pick up the weights and carry them over to where you're going to exercise.
This is actually what exercising is putting everything away.
Yeah,
it's not doing it. It's just packing the shit up, hanging it up, wiping the thing, getting it. Yeah, no, I agree. I hate it, but I have to do it.
That feeling of when you're on the road and you go down to the hotel gym.
Kill me.
And you're like,
murder me right here. And it smells like old vinegar. Because they've cleaned it with, they only clean it with bleach and vinegar.
Yeah.
No, trust me. And those gyms are so fucking sad. They might have one window out to a field.
Oh, dude.
No, it's pathetic as shit.
They're in the worst, because they don't want to waste hotel real estate.
Why would they? Yeah.
So they're like, the gym is, beneath the boiler room.
Subterranean.
Yeah. It's down by the pool. Whenever they say that, I'm like, oh, so it's fucking down by the pool. Kill me.
The pool's, I think, is on SB4. It's sub-basement 4. And below that. You can actually hear the people in the pool from the gym. Dude, yeah, every hotel, they put the gym in the worst fucking places. Or my favorite is the new ones don't even have gyms now. They go, we'll give you a pass to a gym that's like across the street, you know, like a health and fitness place or whatever. Like if there's an LA Fitness or
fuck
a...
Fuck off.
Dude.
Fuck off, you cocksuckers. Fuck off.
You know what they know? They know you're not going to take them up on it. So they probably have an arrangement with the gym that they say, depending on how many guests go, we'll give you this amount of money. And they know by going, hey, you can go over there. No one goes.
Hotels, I mean, they are just capitalizing.
Oh, they're killing it.
On the shit we got it used to during COVID.
Yeah.
Check in not till 4 now. Fuck it. We're not even going to restaff the cleaning staff.
Please hang up your towels. The reuse, reduce, towels. Reuse.
You can only get cleaning services if you request it.
You have to let us know you want it.
And here's the thing. I never wanted it. I'm like, I'm here for 3 nights. I don't give a shit, guys.
I usually say, leave me alone. Yeah, I put the privacy in it. Yeah.
First thing I do, goes
but
on the door.
But if I do want it cleaned, you have to go out of your way and you go, can you guys clean 1402? And they're like, our cleaning crew is actually done for the day.
That was the funny thing about being on that cruise.
Yeah.
Because it was technically international because you left the country.
Oh, right. Where'd you guys go?
Went to the Bahamas and back. And the cleaning staff would be like, you know, I would be walking out of my room. They're like, sir, can we clean your room? I was like, fuck off. No, man. I got the sign out. Like, I used to get like mad about that. Like, no, the sign is out.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. And I didn't say fuck off to them, but just in my head. But I mean, David Spade had a joke about it. Like housekeeping. It was like, because that was like, you couldn't keep them out of your room.
Yeah, now they never, ever want to see your room. And you can tell, by the way, every hotel I stay in now feels like it's been untouched unless it was used by a prior person. And they almost just pull the sheets back over. I don't even think, a lot of times I'm questioning the sheets.
I promise you we're sleeping on dirty sheets. Uh-huh. I promise you. There's no way that's not happening.
There's no chance that it's clean.
They got like one lady now.
Yeah. It's one lady for all the hotels. Yeah. They just ship her around to hotels. I'm at Marriott today, yeah. Tomorrow at Hyatt.
She's like a mercenary. Where's the job today? She goes to a fucking landing strip out in the field.
They treat her like a CIA agent. She gets helicoptered in. Maria, let's go! We gotta go to the Andes!
She runs. Hold on. Hold on. The Mexican lady in the maid uniform running, doing the duck run underneath the helicopter.
See you at 5:30!
That's so funny.
So fucking funny. That is what it feels like, though, on the road now. Yeah. It is funny because I, by the way, and I couldn't go on this cruise, all joking aside, and I wish I went with you guys, but scheduling, when they asked me, I was like, this is never going to work out. It sucks because of all the times I would be down to go on some bullshit like that, it'd be with you fuckheads because it was all my friends.
If you were there, I would have died.
Yeah, we would have died.
I know. I mean, because just being on a boat like that with Q from Jokers, like Sal's fun, but Sal doesn't like go after it.
Yeah,
Sal's one of my best
friends. He's a little tempered. Yeah,
but he's one of my best friends. But he doesn't go after it. Like Q will be like, "What are we doing, baby? What is? Come on, it's fucking 1:00.
Let's get ripped."
Like, and just that alone, I was like, I might not make it back. And then Tone Bell was there.
Oh.
And Tone is good for
Tone likes to have some fun.
We were in the airport. And we were flying from Austin to Miami together.
He live in Austin?
Yeah, he's got a place in Austin.
Oh, right. Yeah. We talked about this. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So we were flying. I was in Austin because I was doing Mothership.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you want to talk about a fucking 2 weeks of my life that I want to just relive? The first week I went to Austin to do the Mothership. So I was in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did 4 sold-out shows at the Mothership. And it was the drinking at the Mothership bar.
Yeah.
And I went in early to do Segura and Pazinski, Your Mom's House.
Yeah.
And to do Danny Brown and to do all the pods and whatever. So I got there fucking early. Yeah. So now I'm having fun in Austin. Mm-hmm. Then the shows happen. You do your shows. It's awesome. Then you're drinking after the shows. Then me and Tone get on a plane and fly to Miami to get on a cruise. I mean, it was the best 2 weeks of my life. It was so fun.
And the testosterone makes you think you are a teenager.
Yes.
You're living the life that a teenager you would be jealous of.
Yes.
And you actually have the internals now of a teenager.
Yeah. Well,
we're in the fucking future, dude. This is the greatest. This is the greatest time on earth to be alive. After this, it's over.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
This is it. We're catching.
They're giving
tail.
You money to have fun, and you're injecting serum to make you younger. Is this fucking insane?
It's fucking awesome.
It's insane what's happening.
Oh my God. I love it. It's going to burn out in 2 years.
No, you're not going to burn out. You're on your way up. Oh, it's meaning like the comedy thing?
Everything.
Oh, comedy's cooked.
Something's going to happen.
Okay, so if I said this before. I called this out. And I hate to do this. But right before COVID, we were in the green room at the Comedy Store. I've told this story. It's so stupid. But Bill Burr walked in the green room and was like, "Dude, we're going to get fucking audited." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Have you seen the fucking parking lot?" And it was absurd. It was like Kevin Hart and all these guys were coming around back. You know, it was just like people were coming a lot. And it was like Ferrari, Lamborghini, Rolls Royce. It was insane. It was like, it was true. It was, I remember pulling in a few times being like, what in the fuck is it? It's like a car show. And Burr was like, this is too much. And it was, the lineups were heavy.
It's great. And it's like the bar scene in Goodfellas when the guy pulls up after the heist.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Take it back.
Take it back.
That's outside the
comedy
store.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I had said to a few of our good friends, something's got to change. This is like, we're over, you know, the cup runneth over. Like it's bubbling. Something's going on. And then COVID literally killed the business.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I called it, but I feel the same way now. I hate to say it, but the cup is runneth over.
It's
insane. people are selling out fucking arenas. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, and it's nuts that the money that has been made on podcasting, it's not right. It's not right. It's
You're talking about the money you make on podcasting?
Brother, I know the money. I know the money that we all make. I know what everybody makes.
Oh, you do? You're in the books?
I'm in the books.
I thought you were Italian.
Yeah. What's that?
You're not.
What do you mean?
Are you
Jewish?
Are you Jewish?
No.
Oh.
No.
So
I think like the Jew.
I'm not trusting your books.
I'm just kidding.
6 pounds on Soprasada?
No, but dude, look, once you learn how your own podcast works,
yeah,
and you learn the metrics of your own show,
sure,
and you learn what that means monetarily.
And you go out there to YMH and you're like, holy fuck.
You can look at anybody's podcast and go, I probably am in a close guessing range of what that podcast has been. And it's insane.
So you think shut down all the podcasts is what
No, but this is how lucrative podcasts are. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is doing one.
Yeah, why is... See, but this is what's weird.
She's a millionaire from birth to begin with.
B, my friend. She's a billionaire.
From birth to begin with. Then Seinfeld.
Not enough.
Right?
Veep.
Then Veep.
Not enough.
New Adventures of Old Christine.
Not enough.
In syndication.
Not enough.
Right? Now she's in Marvel movies. This woman, and she's doing a podcast. That's the kind of money podcasts are bringing in.
What does that really say?
Jason fucking Bateman.
Yeah, they got 100
started
million.
Started a podcast network. This guy is in every fucking movie and TV show.
Yeah, he's dipping into our world.
It's wild, dude.
Well, what it means to me is two things. One, it is being disingenuously sought after. And I'm not saying, like, you know, we're more righteous in this than they are, but this was our fucking thing.
I agree.
I hate to say that, but as comics, it was our shit. It was our way to connect with the audience, to know where they're, to like promote our tours, to be like, hey, here's another way to see us fucking around having fun and being comedians. And then everyone else has kind of chomped in it, which, whatever, but also, it also more importantly means to me, the old phrase, there is no end to up. Because if...
What does that mean?
There is no end to up, meaning what you said. Veep, Seinfeld. No, it doesn't. There is no like, well, after that, everything's okay.
Okay.
Most people have the sickness in this business of there is no end to up. It's like, well, when is it enough? When is enough is enough? Do you really need a fucking podcast network?
It's wild.
And I mean that. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying it's crazy.
I'm shocked they would want to do it.
That's what I mean. There is no end to up, meaning you'd think they'd be full by now.
Well, here's the thing. Excuse me. This is okay. I have so many thoughts on this. I'm glad we're talking about it. I think that I agree with you. Podcasting became a thing that now it's not just comedians. It's people who are food enthusiasts. It's comic book collectors. Sure. It's whatever. But it was the place where people that always dreamt of having at first audio format and then eventually video format show, that was an idea of something they wanted to celebrate or whatever, they could do it, and they could do it as a means to help monetize the overall dream or the overall journey or whatever. It became another component or calling card. It was just part of the repertoire. And it's a necessity for a lot of us, you know.
For comics, I think it's absolutely a necessity.
I will say with full certainty, I need the money my podcasts make me. I need it.
Well, you need more than the money. You need the reps, the exercise, the connection, the community,
the exposure,
like,
and it helps you sell tickets.
It's part of you. Yeah. It's all a part of being a comic.
It helps you sell tickets. It's everything. Yeah. It's so crucial. It's a part of my life that I need, or part of my business that I need. Nothing against Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but it's like, you don't need this money. This is just money that's still on the table.
Unless she loves the gig.
Maybe
she just and really wants to still be in a thing like that.
I guess. But what do you mean still in? She was never in a thing like that.
No, I mean still in the new world of... I mean, you got to think, dude. Young people may not know who she is.
I think it's...
It keeps you relevant.
I think it's... This sounds so negative towards her. I don't mean to. I'm a fan. But
well,
like,
I guess I should tell her not to come out. She's right outside. Julia!
Like Jerry Springer. It just feels to me like it's a team saying...
You should do a podcast.
You know, here's the strategy. Now we're going to do a podcast because that's going to keep you relevant with young people. And then you're going to get to do more indie movies or whatever the fuck it is. And I don't think she needs that. I think she could do all these things without the podcast. I don't think Jason.
Well, hear me play devil's advocate real fast. Yeah, sure. Nobody needs anything at some point.
Right.
So what do you want? And let me say this. If you're at certain points in your career, you may just want to keep trying new shit because it's unique and new. You know why? It's me joining TikTok. It's like, why the fuck are we on TikTok? Well, I think it's funny, and I like putting up clips on there. But it's certainly not made for people in their fucking 40s.
No.
TikTok's made for fucking 20-year-olds.
But TikTok is also, you could argue, that it's just part of society.
I know, but I didn't need to join it. But I did want to join it to put out more shit on there.
I would disagree with you. You might have needed to join it. You might have...
You mean career-wise, like it's a necessity.
Dude, we are actively functioning in an environment where we have to sell a product 24/7.
And it's us.
It never ends.
Yeah.
You never... don't have to sell tickets.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter your odds of selling out the room versus not selling out the room. What matters is that gigs will keep getting booked, and you have to promote properly every one of those gigs or they don't sell.
Sure.
And TikTok and a podcast and Instagram, all of that helps you do that.
Right.
The people that do these things that don't need to worry about that, I don't fucking understand it. Now, I'm not saying... Julia Lee Dreyfus doesn't have to worry about selling tickets. She has to sell movie tickets. She's in that new A24 movie coming out. But does she have to sell tickets?
Yeah, kind of.
But I'm saying, what happens? If you said to me, brother, you've got more money than God.
I will never say that to you.
Nobody will. Nobody will. If anybody said it, though, you've got more money than God.
Yeah.
You have beyond generational money. What are you going to do? I'm not going to worry about selling fucking tickets.
See, but I would argue because you love all this shit, you'd probably still do a lot of shit.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do shit.
You'd be fucking bored out of your mind if you didn't do anything.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do shit.
Like, have you ever spent a week in the countryside?
Here's a positive way of looking at what she's doing. Maybe in her head, she's going, you know what? I do this because I'm lucky enough for people to still want to book me in things, and I want to help those things do what they need to do.
And here's the other
side. Maybe that's what it is.
She's also fucking great. So it's kind of like one more thing for her to have fun with. She's fucking funny and smart. And
right.
That's the other thing. She may just want to have fucking fun.
Yeah.
You know what?
And this make a might million be the, bucks while doing it.
At least.
Yeah.
This might be the thing that she has the most fun. That's what's ironic.
Here's the only part that bothers me, dude. And this bothers you too, so don't go diplomat on me here.
I know, I'm playing devil's advocate, but just because I like to see the other side of it. Because I agree with you on certain things, but I also know, I'm sure people say, I'm sure someone at one point in my career is going to go, why is he doing that? And it's like, maybe he fucking wants to. I don't know. Maybe he just enjoys, maybe it's a free.
That I get. But
maybe it's a getaway from the norm.
Does it bother you a little bit though? Mm. Now, you're on one of the biggest podcasts out there right now, period.
Yeah.
Period. Like Bad Friends is...
No, it's a global... It's globally, it's ranked. Yeah, yeah. It's big. Yeah.
So...
I'm very blessed. I'm stoked.
So you... But let's take Bad Friends away.
Sure.
Pretend Bad Friends isn't there. Would it bother you a little bit? This is the part of it that bothers me a little bit. And I'm not saying my shows make the money they make, and it's pretty consistent, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that this is even something to think about. What concerns me a little bit, though, about the celebrity infiltration of podcasting is it will become homogenized.
Mm-hmm.
It will become corporatized.
Correct.
Even more.
I agree.
And it will get to a point where they say there is no more advertising money unless you... Now, there. It's true that you have to reach a certain bar now, but that bar used to be ours, and that bar, and it used to be,
it was ours.
It was our
world.
It
was independent. It was an indie world of like, we get to decide.
Yeah. And it's kind of like all of us independently. I remember doing podcasts with Bobby Kelly on a phone line where you had to record it.
Yeah.
And it sounded like a phone call. Like it sounded like, shh, yeah, shh, you know, it was, I had the phone distortion because you had to call a phone and we would lose it sometimes.
Yeah.
You'd hit the wrong button at the end and you'd lose the whole episode. So I'm not sitting here like I'm a fucking pioneer of podcasting.
No, but we were all a part of it, comics at least. A lot of us were a part of it.
And we all contributed.
For a long time.
And it feels a little like, once again, the celebrities are drifting in. And
once again, the thing we start is being taken over by somebody else.
And, you know.
And you being a fucking music head, it's you feel like this is a thing that happens in the music industry constantly.
Look, man, my favorite movie genre on planet Earth and my favorite thing to write and
horror.
My favorite thing to read is horror and watch is horror, collect horror. I am so fucking happy that Jordan Peele won that Oscar for Get Out and then horror didn't even get sneezed at the following year.
Yeah.
I never want horror at the award shows.
Yeah.
It will fucking ruin it like the award shows have ruined every other genre of filmmaking.
Well, they kicked out comedy. It doesn't even exist now.
It doesn't. And look at the shit they nominate and say is...
It's a comedy, I know.
Yeah.
It'll be Barbie's like a comedy.
Yeah. It'll be like a movie about like stage 4 cancer and they're like deeply hilarious.
Oppenheimer, like, what? Up for comedy. Yeah, like... Funny parts in it. Yeah,
so,
that's it's the same thing. You're right. To keep it separated helps... the sanity of things that you love. Sometimes. It's unavoidable. Things are going to get swept away. They're going to become big. It's the same way I feel about comics of ours that are friends that are huge or friends of mine that became famous that I know, that I've known for 20 years, that I'm like, they're going to get swept away a little bit. Some things are out of your control.
Yeah.
Like this thing is out of our control. At some point, it was going to be popular enough because we wanted it to be popular. The irony is you want more people to listen to. Well, the more people that listen, the more of an industry it creates. The more of an industry it creates, the more the industry wants in.
Yeah.
So who do we blame it on, Kanye? Yeah. Who are you blaming this on? Say what you really want to say, Joe.
As I said earlier, I think like the Jew.
Like an Italian?
No, the Jewish.
Turn
I'm
this
kidding.
Off. I, it's just no, no, funny, no. He's not kidding. Ladies at home,
sentence.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, please cancel him.
But listen, here's the thing, dude. It's funny. I wrote something the other day. I don't know what I would put it in. It's just something I wrote. It was an interesting thought to me. I said, you know, when you love a band, when you love a band from day one, it's like being a parent. You love them when nobody else loves them unconditionally. You're in the show when there's only 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
You're there supporting them as they fall and try and whatever. And that's why it hurts and makes you so mad when they become huge. Because it's the kid saying, I don't need you anymore. I don't need you anymore. Look at all of this.
I have everything I need.
I'm all grown up. Look at all the love I get out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it makes you a little resentful. You know, there's a little empty nest, whatever. You know? So, like, I don't want to see that happen with... Not that I don't want to see things I love become successful. Or friends of mine become successful, or bands I love, whatever. But I also don't want to see things that I love become completely homogenized, because it's the same in my head. It's analogous. It's the same thing. So it's just kind of a bummer. Like, it's just the celebrity podcasts.
We got to move on.
We do. It feels like mom dancing. It's like you have the rap record on and mom comes over. Okay, gang.
Hop, a hip it to the hip it. And you're like aunt Sheila, don't do that.
Yeah.
Stop
I love Smartless, though. And I'm going to listen to Julia's podcast. I really do like
this.
Smartless
is all a big plug for their podcast.
I really do like it. I like the three of them together a lot.
Yeah, man,
and I got to listen to Julia's thing.
It's actually great. That's why it worked. And that's why, you know, that's how they'll drown in money. They'll Scrooge McDuck their way. Speaking of which, dude, this Apple Watch, wow.
What about it?
What are you, a billionaire? Are you showing off the big one? You got the big one with
the small one looked stupid on my wrist.
What I don't like, and this is me, it's rude because you know I love you as a friend, but the Mickey Mouse of it all bothers the shit out of me.
I think it's fun.
I just don't. But the Disney stuff is so weird to me. I don't like it.
I'm not a big Disney guy.
But having Mickey Mouse on your watch is a big leap for me as an adult male.
Oh, okay.
And I don't mean it condescendingly. I'm just saying,
I might
like,
change it. It's just
I would like
it
if you could.
It.
When we go out to dinner, could you change it to something that's more appropriate?
How
many people do you think know who's on your shirt? Truly,
everybody goes, "Is that Debbie Harry?"
Debbie Harry.
Everybody thinks it's Debbie Harry, who's also awesome.
But that's kind of an okay guess. That could be
it's
a distorted.
Clearly, Dolly Parton.
It doesn't matter. That could be a distorted Debbie Harry. Maybe that's not that bad of a guess.
It's clearly Dolly Parton.
Yeah, no, it is, but
like,
I mean,
it's undoubtedly Dolly Parton.
I get it, but I just think that's not as bad of a guess if it could have been. This could be a, you know, if somebody guesses a current, if someone's like, is that Taylor Swift? Who is that? that would bother you exponentially.
Oh,
more.
That would. I'd be like, go fuck your fucking mouth.
In here, we pour whiskey.
This episode of Whiskey Ginger is brought to you by Squarespace. I've spoken about Squarespace all the time for a long time because I've been using them for a long time. Created my first, one of my first functional sites on Squarespace. Back in the good old days, you had to hire someone, a developer, someone that knew someone that was building sites at the time. It usually cost a ton of money. It was insane. And you were just trying to put up like an image and a date or two for people to come see you. But now they've got so many options to create a great site. With the Fluid Engine there at Squarespace, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anybody to unlock unbreakable creativity. Best-in-class website templates, customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology. You literally just pinch it, put it, pinch it, put it, pinch it, put it. That's the new technology. Call the company Pinch and Put It, my friends. You can sell custom merch on there. They have a great online store that's already set up for you, basically. They have an asset library, flexible website templates, as we said. My favorite is the email campaigns and the analytics. I say this every time, but truly it does help me know where you guys are at. Every time somebody clicks on my site, it really puts me in a good place to know where I'm going to go next, and it helps me out a whole bunch. If you're looking to create a new site, you got to try it. You got to check it out. What do you got to lose other than a bunch of time wasting on other sites that aren't as good and don't know what they're doing? So head over to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/whiskey to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Once again, squarespace.com, free trial. When you're ready to launch, squarespace.com/whiskey to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This episode of Whiskey Ginger is brought to you by Rabbit Hole, baby. Rabbit Hole Distillery and their one-of-a-kind Kentucky bourbon and rye whiskeys. I love this souse. Look at that bottle. Great to grip onto, great to pass to a friend or just chug it yourself. Put it in a glass. Grow up, will you? It's very, very good. Behind this beautiful award-winning spirits is their founder, Kaveh Zamanian. 20-plus year career as a clinical psychologist. He left it, jumped down the rabbit hole to craft the world's finest spirits. That he did. He was the fastest to ever get inducted in the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame. Pretty impressive, to say the least. And he made something really special and unique. I will say, there's a lot of brown sauce on the market. It's easy to get lost in the sauce, if you will. But these guys have done it small batch style. They've done it the right way. Small batch, 15 barrels at a time, toasted and charred. They're never faking their funk. They got four distinct expressions. Boxer Grill is what I've been sipping on. This stuff is very, very good. It's their sour mash rye. A lot of people say, I'm not a rye guy. Well, you will be now after you taste this sauce. It's delicious. It's wonderful. And they have three others at Cave Hill. That's a triple malt. The high gold is this one. The Boxer Grill sour mash rye, that's what this is. I apologize. And the Derringer finished in Pedro Jimenez sherry casks. It is so very good. Honestly, I couldn't talk about it more. I believe in it. Go try it for yourself. Go to rabbitholedistillery.com/buy now. Use the promo code RABBIT for $5 off your first order. Rabbitholedistillery.com/buy now. RABBIT for $5 off your first order. Drink it up responsibly, friends. Top of the morning to you. This episode is brought to you by the St. Patrick's Day Shamrock Shavers Manscaped. This year, don't just chase the rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun with the leaders and below the kilt care. Say goodbye to your clover forest with Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0. Let your confidence shine bright. Brighter than the Irish sun, which barely shows its face. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com. Use the code WHISKEY for 20% off plus free shipping. I've been using Manscaped for quite a long time now. You can meet your new lucky charm for St. Patty's Day with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Trim it up real good, baby. Trim it up, slim it up. Always looks better and bigger when you keep it nice and thin. Thicker is bad. You don't want to hide what you got. Show what your papa gave you, all right? It's great, man. It's equipped with dual LED spotlights. You can navigate that shamrock in peace. Trimming the hedges in your Irish garden isn't just for below the belt, by the way. Complete your look with Manscaped's signature beard hedger pro kit and handyman electric face shaver. It's fantastic stuff, man. You got to clean up with Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WHISKEY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code WHISKEY at manscaped.com. This St. Patrick's Day, make sure your little hairy leprechaun is luckier than ever with Manscaped.
Ginger. I like gingers.
This is a feel so good. I talked about these guys on, I think,
Feel So Good is a company
somewhere.
That makes it.
It might
is
have
that
been your mom's house. Yeah, there's a company in Austin called Feel So Good. And I'm going to plug them again now because after I plugged them wherever I did, they DM'd me and said that they would maybe send me free stuff.
Well, I'm not going to let you do that on this
but,
show.
But I really do love them. And this is my favorite t-shirt. and they make this is. I bought this shirt twice now in my lifetime.
You don't have to buy. Why would you buy it twice?
Because the first one I wore it out.
Well, Feel So Good should send you new ones.
You should feel so good. That would feel so good.
That would feel. You know what would feel so good? A new box of shirts on my fucking doorstep when I get home.
Oh, I wear a lunch. anyway.
No, so moving away from all this bullshit, the last time that we were together.
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
Just before you say this? You know what's funny? That started and went into bitching about celebrity podcasts. What it started with was I was basically saying, it is a disgrace the amount of money we're all making for podcasts, and we should not.
And then and it goes
it
right into
it. Shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It shouldn't be happening.
Shut it off. Shut it down. Shut it off. Like, turn off the show right now.
You got people like becoming millionaires, like sitting around being like, I prefer this kind of car oil. Like, it's fucking crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's bad.
Anyway, all right. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, the last time I saw you, we were, well, last time we were together outside was in Austin.
Okay.
And, I got to tell you, I saw some of your stuff that you were working on, and I watched you, and because you did a spot, and I thought, maybe it is time for a DeRosa hour.
Thank you. Thank you.
And where is it?
Well, the stuff I did at your show wasn't from the hour. It was just...
But where is this hour?
I'm touring with it right now.
When is it? When are you going to push it to the world?
I had a meeting today about shooting it. We finally figured out where we want to shoot it.
And where? Announce it on
I'm
my
gonna
show.
I'm not going to
say it. Say it on
my show. Not because it's not locked in yet. We know where we're
pursuing. We'll just say it for fun.
No.
If I guess it, you'll say yes. No. Nashville.
No.
Denver.
Nope.
Miami.
No.
Oh, Atlanta.
No. You know where I should shoot it? I should shoot it on the Joker's cruise next year. Has anybody done that? Has anybody done a special from a cruise ship?
No, Joe.
No, right?
For a good reason.
No, I know where I want to shoot it. I know when I want to release it. It's ready. It's beyond ready at this point. I'm torn with it right now. It's called, I know this much, it's called I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. That's the name of the tour. That will be the name of the hour.
Nice.
I've been out with it for... It's just been great, man. I just was in Nashville, Charleston. I came, I did L.A., I did San Diego, I did...
You take someone with you? No.
San Fran. No. If I have a friend in the city that I'm in, I ask a friend to come do it. And if I don't, I'll just say, hey, like, who are some funny people around here? And I, you know.
When you just said, I never promised you a rose garden. When you said before that, I think is a good name for a special. I know this much.
I know this much?
Yeah. I think I'm going to do that. I know this much.
I don't like it.
Layers.
I don't like it.
I know this much.
I don't like it.
I know this much.
I like the
wordplay.
The wordplay on like, no, what I'm saying is I know this much.
Yeah.
But I don't like that it sounds like, I know this much.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
I don't like it.
I know this much.
I don't like it.
I know this much.
I don't like titles of specials that are like phrases that like your uncle would say.
You said, I never promised you a rose garden.
Yeah.
That's yours.
Yeah.
That's a phrase. My uncle says it to me all the time.
No, he doesn't. You know what I mean? Like when a guy's like, my new special is called And So On.
And so on.
Like, I don't like titles like that.
Actually, I'll tell you this. I don't like titles of specials.
Why did you call your special cheeseburger?
It had a whole bit in it about I was having a...
I should watch the whole thing.
No, it's worthless.
Why? No, it's not.
No. It was. There was a bit in there about me having an anxiety. I had this big anxiety attack, and I was going through this tough time because of family stuff. And in so many words, I just said I was worried about the business and this and that and how to, and I was over analyzing everything I was doing.
Right.
And I was just saying, like, I don't want to be anything else than other than what I'm not. I don't want to try anymore to like think about, worry about what other people need and want.
Right.
And I just, for some reason, was saying, I just want to be a cheeseburger. I just want to be something that you have and that you love. And then when you're done with it, you're good. I don't need to be remembered forever. I don't need, and it's not like I'm trying to be deep metaphorically about it. I'm just saying, I just want simplicity.
Yeah.
And cheeseburger, everyone likes it. I don't give a fuck who
it's
you
great.
Are. Everyone wants a cheeseburger, and when you have them, you go, God damn, that's good. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And I was just saying, like, why am I worried so much about what other people think and feel about the details.
It's a fucking curse, dude. It's a curse.
That's what I mean. So the whole thing was a panic attack leading to me being like, I jokingly said to my wife, I just want to be a goddamn cheeseburger. I just want to be something simple and fucking like a nothing. I just want to be nothing. I just want to have it, go, hey, this is great, and then walk away. I don't need... There's this weird thing in our business of people wanting to be remembered forever. I think it's
sick.
Really wild.
It's sick.
It's gross.
I appreciate the stamp.
Sure.
I appreciate...
From like a moment in time.
Well, like when Emily from the comedy store called me right before Christmas... She's like, "Hey, dude, you're going on the wall. You're going to be a paid regular."
It's awesome.
It was something I wanted so badly when I lived here, and it just wasn't the time. It wasn't going to happen. There's a lot of
politics,
whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Politics.
And I kind of just forgot about it. I just forgot about it. And when she called me, I got a little bit emotional, and I said, I told my parents, and I go, it's nice because it proves I was here. I was here. I was part of it.
Yeah.
As long as that building is there, you know what I mean?
Until it gets ripped down and sold as
exactly.
A weed
shop.
They
paint over my name to pass a door guy.
There's some homeless guy pissing on it.
But so there is a little bit in the, like, I'm glad I did records with Comedy Central. I'm glad to own some of my own records. I'm glad I did other ones with Comedy Central that I'll never own. Why? Because those are Viacom owned, and they'll probably just be here long after I'm dead.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The indie stuff is a lot harder, you know? It's like, I'm not going to have some estate that, like, you know what I mean, or whatever. So, like, there's a little bit of a pride, or whatever you want to call it, in leaving something behind, which it's nice.
Sure.
But I agree with you. It's sick.
It's gross.
There's a sickness that people have of becoming the legend or becoming this or becoming that. And it's never... I have so many friends where I'm like, when is it going to be enough, dude? Like, when?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah.
When do you just go, fuck, man, I'm good? Like...
Yeah, that's right. I think if you're blessed enough to be at a place where you're making a career doing what you love, that's why I... talked about it in that regard. I was like, I fucking give a shit. I don't give a fuck if you don't like me. I'm not trying to flip you if you're like, I'm not a fan. It's not my job to get everyone's love and adoration to make sure that I'm cemented forever as this image. I'm going to keep changing. My career's going to keep moving. I'm going to make good shit. I'm going to make bad shit. I don't fucking care.
And by the way, let me be very clear. When I said I have so many friends, I don't mean just in entertainment.
I know. I knew that was a lie when you said that. I was like, this guy does not have a lot of friends. That's insane.
I don't. People don't like me.
I love you.
I know you do.
Definitely.
You're all I need. A cheeseburger. But I just mean friends across the board. I have so many friends that do so many different things where you're just like, even emotionally, it's like, when is it enough, man?
Yeah.
When do you fucking exhale and go, I'm just going to kind of breathe now.
Yeah.
And enjoy this and like whatever. Like, but there's this real... You know, yeah, but if I do this, though, then it could really mean this for my grandkids. Fuck your grandkids. Fuck people. Let me say this on camera. I mean
fuck
this.
Fuck your grandkids.
Fuck your grandkids. People that are doing things because they're worried about their grandkids having money.
Yeah.
Fuck. That is their fucking problem. It is batshit to me.
It is.
It's batshit, man.
Yeah,
you get to go around once. You know, and once for a handful of decades if you're fucking lucky.
And your shitbag grandkids are going to get your money and not give a fuck about you. You're gone.
It's
you won't be, they will think about you sometimes.
It's not your job. It's not your job to leave money to your kids.
Mm-mm.
It's not your job to, it is your job to provide for them until they can provide for themselves and they're legal adults. It's nice that you want to give them things. But it is not your fucking job to be like, I got to make sure that when my kids, when it's time for them to buy a house, I got the down payment covered. Get the fuck out of here, dude. If you can do it, great. But you're going to bust your fucking back to do that?
Mm-mm.
You're going to go, instead of just having a regular life that I enjoy and doing enough for my kids, and enough meaning above and beyond by any other country's fucking standards on planet Earth.
Yeah.
You go, nah, I'm going to make myself miserable and stress myself out so I can do more for them than they would ever have any right to fucking expect from me.
And there's no way they could ever appreciate it because they could never truly understand it.
It's bad for them.
Because they never had to feel it.
Yeah, it's bad for them.
Yeah, it's gross.
I used to get mad at my parents.
The way you licked your lips after you said it, you're like, I used to get fucking mad.
I used to get so mad at my parents. And I was an asshole for this. Because they couldn't give me, like, money for shit. I had so many friends that were buying their first houses in, like, their early 30s. And I was like, how are you doing this? And they're like, oh, mom and dad gave me the down payment and co-signed and whatever. And that just wasn't the... And now I'm glad because I'm like, taught me...
I'm happy that I didn't
knuckle the fuck up, dude.
I did get jealous when I saw people that had that kind of help. It did bum me the fuck out.
Of course.
Where I was like, how do you have a house and we're 26 years old? And I have four roommates? But it probably makes you stronger. And it also makes failure so much easier. Then when you do fail, you're like, whatever, dude. I've already had it.
Yeah.
When somebody has to take an L after they've been spoiled their whole life, they collapse. That's why you see people have like crazy breakdowns, because they cannot fucking believe it didn't work out a little bit.
Terror is so good. It's so good for
Terror is so good. Yeah. That's why you love horror. You love...
Dude, I have a whole thing in my act about evil. Evil is good.
Yeah.
Evil is good. People want to eliminate evil. Evil is good. Evil is what drives fear. Fear is what creates dignity. Right. Fear is what makes you do the right things. Like, evil is beautiful. It has to be part of this whole equation.
Sure.
You take it away, you got kids who don't understand what the fuck to appreciate. You have people that don't understand what the fuck to appreciate. So what you just said about you take an L, it makes you stronger, right? My buddy Jonesy said once, he told me when he did ayahuasca, he was like, this was years and years ago. This was like when nobody was doing it, and you had to like go
before
down.
Before it was cool.
Yeah. This is like when you had to literally go down to like a jungle and do
it.
Like
South America, yeah. Yeah.
You were like in for a penny, in for a pound, like, wow, we're here. this is happening.
If we die, we die.
Yeah. And I go, what was it like? He goes, dude, I'll never fear anything again in my life. I stared into the eyes of a fucking demon. I was like, holy shit. Dude.
I believe everything he's saying.
Yeah. And like, that's what we're talking about. The L is the demon, dude. You stare into the eyes of it and you go, bro, I've been here. I can only speak for myself. I've been baroque. Two syllables broke. Two syllables broke. yeah. Talking about it on stage to the point where people, when I get off stage, comedian friends would be like, yo, dude, is that all really happening? I'm like, uh-huh. And they'd be like, dude, I'm sorry. Like,
that's cool, man.
Yeah.
See you at the next spot.
Yeah. On the next spot. I've been there, dude. And like, it sucks. It fucking sucks, dude, going 2 years without health insurance and whatever the fuck it is. Makes you appreciate shit, though, dude, when you get it, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure.
It, you know, and I'm far from easy fucking living now, but it's like, God damn, dude. I'm like, I appreciate the shit I have, dude. You know, like.
Yeah, because you've seen the other side.
Yeah.
If you never see it, you'll never
Have
know.
You been there?
Oh, my God, dude. I first moved here with no money.
Yeah.
No money. And I never had a safety net. I never was like I mean, my safety net was I could move back in with my parents in Chicago. It was never going to be like, here's some money for your apartment or rent or whatever. The safety net would be you'd have to come home. You could sleep in my house, but we're not going to funnel you money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that the fear was like I just had to scrounge to make sure I didn't have to move home. That was my biggest fear, because then I was a failure to myself because I didn't try hard enough or just get a, you know, just find a way to make money. And now I'm at home again. And there's nothing wrong with living at home. It was just I moved far away to try. And I felt like I have to do everything to make sure I don't just go home.
Sure.
But yeah, dude, I was making fucking $400 a week before taxes, scrounging for money, trying to rent an apartment, you know, living in an apartment.
In a city like this, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I remember the nights. I only had a couple of nights where I did have the... Am I going to be allowed to get away with not paying rent? I had a few of those nights. To not pay rent was my fear. It was like, look, I didn't go starving, but yeah, I remember that it's right around the corner, dude.
I had time. it's we're all two ticks away from it.
Yeah, it was right around the corner.
It's you know, but we you know, I had two stretches in my life where I got so, well, no, I'm sorry. There was one in particular. I was so broke. I had so much anxiety. I got adult acne. I got full on like acne.
Sorry, but that's so fucking funny, dude.
Yeah. Dude, and I'm talking like, this is how bad it was. I'm not kidding. This is how bad it was. I was in a store one day,
yeah,
and a clothing store, and the clerk, the sales guy, like pulled me aside privately, and he's like, "Hey, man, I've been where you're at. You should try this for your acne." And I was like, "Jesus Christ, dude! Like it was. I had full on fucking acne, dude." And my opening joke.
That's so good that a dude is like, "Hey, man, I know what's going on."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Comedian, right?
Comedian, yeah. Broke comedian.
My opening.
Are you broke?
My opening joke, like that whole year, and it was true. I said, let me. I'm gonna fuck it up. I forgot.
No, fuck it up. It's your joke. It doesn't matter.
It was something like, but it was true. I said, well, I'll tell you how my year is going. I'm 35. I think I was 35, and I have such bad acne. I had to start using Proactive. Or that's what it was. I'm 35, and I have such bad acne that I had to go to the mall to get Proactive, and that would get a laugh. And then I go, here's the sadder part. My dad had to buy it for me.
To call your dad.
Nothing.
And that's true.
It was true.
Your old man had to buy
it. My dad was driving me home from Christmas back to New York, and he took me to the King of Prussia Plaza and bought me Proactive.
Yeah.
It was dark. But, you know, fuck it, dude.
Well, who cares?
Yeah.
It's also a good joke, so you got something out.
Yeah, that happens. And then one day you buy a house, and you're like, wow, man, I really appreciate this house.
Yeah, you hold on to it because you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's fucked up, you know?
No, but there's something so nice about it.
Yeah. Because
also, you know, it makes you appreciate other people that have worked for things. Like a guy in our neighborhood the other day, so funny. I'm leaving my neighborhood that I'm in, and we're walking through talking about details. And I noticed this guy has a bunch of chickens in his yard. Mm-hmm. A fuckload.
People do that a lot now.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
But this older Mexican guy comes out, and he's like, sees us seeing it. He's like, "You like the chicken?" And I was like, "Yeah, I passed the house. I've never seen it." He's like, "9. I got 9 chickens." And I was like, "Wow, that's great." And he's like, "No, it's terrible. My wife, my son, they like chickens. I like my garden. The chickens fuck up my garden. But I love my wife and my son." And I was like, this dude. It was a beautiful. It was like you could tell.
That's great.
He cared more about the whole than himself. He was like, fuck it. But you could tell he really appreciated the fuck out of his space. He had lemon, lime, avocado, sugar cane. He had so much stuff, and he was so proud of it, like mm-hmm. so fucking proud of it. And I thought at some point, it's time for us to leave. You know, all right, this dude could have talked to us. He wanted someone to talk to about it for hours.
Yeah.
And he was just very proud. You could tell he's extremely proud of his shit. This wasn't a fancy house. It's not a big house. I'm sure he worked his dick off for it.
Mm-hmm.
So he really gave a fuck. Like he truly, so much so that he's like, "Can you stay here for a minute?" I said, "Yeah." Mm-hmm. And he comes back out generously with a whole bunch of shit, like a carton of eggs from the chickens and all this.
Wow.
And he just get, and you know, of course.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And my wife, and not to discredit her, but also my brain, it's like, do we offer him? So do we have to give him something? Because that's your brain goes to like, don't I have to pay for this or isn't this a.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no, this is the difference. This guy just wanted to share what he's proud of, you know? And this is a rare thing in our culture.
He went right
now.
Back to his wife. He's like, "These gringo
rich gringos
cunts didn't give yeah. me a fucking dime. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose the house because the chicken business isn't fucking working."
He stands
honey.
Out there with his hand.
People keep thinking the eggs are free.
Yeah, I give them the egg. They just walk away. They don't pay. It was like the sweetest shit.
That's great.
But it was because he was proud of his shit.
So my neighbors...
He just wanted to show off his shit.
My neighbors are Spanish-speaking.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where... From where.
It doesn't matter.
But they speak Spanish. They speak very, very little English. Yeah. Very little. And when I first moved in, like, this guy would see me, like, pulling, like, a chair out of my truck that I bought for the house or whatever. And he would, like, jump up off his porch and run over and help me. And it was so sweet. And what's your name, man? And Carlos. Hi, Carlos. I'm Joe. But that was literally all he could say. Like, he didn't understand nothing.
Yeah. Right?
And then, like, it was amazing, dude. One day he came over, and he was sitting on his porch. It was a Friday afternoon. It was, like, right after work. And he was sitting on his porch. He had a case of Coronas. Like, a cooler, I mean, of Coronas. And he had the limes with the fucking, what's that red shit? The hot.
Tajin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey. And I like, nod, and he goes... And he had his phone out, and he had the translator app open.
No.
Yeah, and it just said, would you like to have a beer with me?
This is the fucking, I'm going to, what are you, what is that, Disney movie?
Isn't
this
that
is so beautiful.
I know.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah, and then.
And you're like, no.
I said, I couldn't actually.
You fucking
I really
did.
Couldn't. I couldn't. I was like, I can't today.
Yeah.
But then another guy from his family who spoke a little more English came out, and I met him, and we were talking. And I was like, I can't. Please tell Carlos, I'm sorry that I cannot have a beer today. I can't today.
Yeah.
But do you guys like to drink? Because I will drink with you later. And the guy goes, when Friday comes, if we have money, we drink. And I was like, all right, man, I'll be back. They were awesome. They're awesome. I still see them all the time. They're fucking great.
Yeah, but my neighbor, this is so funny. It reminds me, when I first, the first like year I think I was in the neighborhood, my neighbor's a British dude, older British dude. So the most chill motherfucker on earth. You forget, OG British guys, they're tough to go toe-to-toe with. Like, this dude can fucking drink. Like, he was like, he's
yeah,
like,
they're no fucking, they're like.
It was unbelievable.
They're like, go back to the fucking office after four fucking whiskeys.
Also, they could drink just 6 pints of beer and just like, let's go out and get something. You're like, I came home.
That is their thing, the pint.
They love a pint.
They love it, dude.
It's good. I can't argue with them. I love a good pint.
It's great, dude, but they drink it like it's water, dude.
I know.
Like, my stomach just gets bloated after a while.
He was like, come over. He loves Old Speckled Hen. Do you know what Old Speckled Hen is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's pretty good. But he loves Old Speckled Hen. And he said, oh, come on over and come on, just have one. I said, honestly, dude, I have such a full night. It's crazy. He goes, come on. One. And you know, you're the same way.
Yeah.
I go over there. Holy fucking shit. Now I'm like six deep. My wife gets home. She's like, where are you at? I'm like, next door. Come over. And she comes over and she sees I'm smashed. And thankfully, his wife was home. And she was like, you want a glass of wine? And her and my wife were just off to the races. I mean, dude, we didn't get back into the home. We didn't cross back over into our yard until like, I don't know, 11:30 at night. It was like 4 p.m. when I showed up to have one fucking beer.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome.
But it was rad because it was just like, sometimes when you're in a good spot, like that, time goes away. Most of our life is constrained by time. That it's like, dude, it's so nice once in a while to be like, fuck it. And just disappear.
Yeah.
You should have had a beer with that fucking dude on the porch.
I regret it because I don't know.
He died. He's not around.
<He's dead. laughs> I haven't seen him in forever. I don't know that he even.
Shit, I hope he's not.
No,
dead,
no.
Dude.
I think he might have just been visiting or something. Like, I don't know.
He's not
like,
even for, right.
I saw him a lot when I first moved in.
He could have been.
And then, like, you know.
He could have been deported.
I called. Somebody.
You called INS? Yeah, this illegal's on his porch trying to give away beer to underage kids.
I don't see him as often, so I don't know if he's around or not.
I hope he's still around.
You know, I'll tell you the reverse of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
My neighbors on the other side, it snowed. They still haven't introduced themselves, which is bothering me.
This is Pennsylvania, not New York. Yeah.
I'm the new guy.
Yeah.
You introduce yourself to me. I don't come knock on your door like, hey, I just
It's actually
in.
Creepy if you knock on their door.
Right?
That's weirdo stuff.
By the way, I've now knocked on the door twice to finally introduce myself because they're not coming over. Mm. They weren't home. Two times, they've been on their porch, like, getting food delivered, and I'll just happen to be walking out my door, and I'm like, oh, hey, and they just ignore me. It fucking snowed. I'm like, I'm going to get these motherfuckers. I shoveled their fucking walk and their sidewalk and their steps to their porch and salted all of it for them.
God, yeah, yeah.
And they didn't come say thank you.
I love these people.
I want to go over and be like, I'm just curious. Who do you think did that?
The city.
Yeah. The city does it, right?
It's pretty impressive, though. This passive-aggressive act on you, on your behalf, this super passive-aggressive.
I know. I swear to you, it might be. Maybe it is.
100%.
But I didn't mean it passive-aggressive. I really was trying to be neighborly, like, finally, like, a gesture that maybe they'll just come say hello.
Well, okay, so what you should do just for fun is blow it up. Now do something super over the top.
I mean,
something ridiculous.
At this point, I'm like, I got carte blanche now.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, but
you've seen these people.
I've seen the wife and who I assume is the daughter.
Yeah. How would you know?
I can't tell because she's.
Now, do you think these people are creepy and evasive because they are just introverts or perhaps they're hiding something?
I don't think it's like the Burbs where they're like, you know, they're murdering people in the basement or anything. I just think that they're, I don't know, maybe they're just not friendly. You know?
I'd like to make up a story that they really have something that they're hiding.
I honestly don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
They killed Carlos.
God
damn it. Does this
make
perfect sense?
I'll tell you what's weird. It does. It does make perfect sense. Our front lawns are pretty small.
Yeah.
And there's the guy next to me, and then the guy, Carlos's house, and then the guy next to Carlos. They mow your grass. Like if one guy goes out to mow his front, he'll mow the people on either side. It's
sure.
Just as a good gesture.
Well, because it's kind of easy. And
Yeah. It takes 10 seconds. And I'm actually going to buy a mower in March so I can do that when the weather gets nice for them. But they never mowed this guy's front, and he doesn't mow it.
This goes deep. This
so
is,
I'm like,
this
something's
is...
going on in that house, man. Like, I don't know what it is.
He said one racial slur once on the way home, and now his wife's like, we can't talk
Never
to
seen him.
Anymore.
He was in his truck one day, the guy.
And I like this mystery neighbor
Yeah,
shit.
I was walking out of my house with my dad, and we were walking out the back, because the parking's in the back. We're walking out the back to my driveway, and he was in his truck, and he was, like, just starting it up and getting ready to go somewhere. And I saw him, and I go to my dad. I go, oh, that's the neighbor over there. And he didn't come say, like, who the fuck doesn't come say hi? It's weird, right? It's fucking weird.
There's one family on our block, this Russian couple. They're young, and they got a young kid. I've said hi. It's a joke for all of us. I've said hi no less than 20, 30 times at this point. Never once reciprocated. It's interesting.
Do you think there's a chance...
They speak clear English. I've heard them talk
to
people.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask you...
I've heard them speak to people.
Do you think there's a chance they're here, like, because Russian, they're here illegally and maybe they don't want to...
No. They're here legally. There's no doubt.
They're here legally.
Yeah, she's a fucking nurse. I see her when she goes to work in the
morning. Okay.
And he's got a business. I could... Look, they...
They're just cunts.
They don't... No, they do not want to... They do not care to associate with anybody but people they already know. They have people over all the time. But I've spoken to other people about this.
The part I don't get is who doesn't say hi?
I think it's just like, I'm not interested in you type of shit. It's like, hello, because we're just being neighborly, whatever that means. And I think some people are just like, I don't know.
Do you think it's like a thing where he's like, in Russia,
you don't engage
because it means you're inviting a friendship or something?
In Mother Russia, you don't say hi to neighbor.
Yeah. I mean, I liked how you broke right into that.
In Mother Russia.
It was very Dan Soder of you.
Well, we're both very talented. That is true. That is true.
He loves a voice, that kid.
Yeah,
bless
his
heart.
You know why? Because it's my whole childhood was voices and sounds and noises.
Yeah.
I wasn't deprived like you. I wasn't...
That's the best.
All right, Joey, soon we have to go because I want to put food in our bellies before we do a set tonight. So I know you're nervous about a 10-minute set for no reason.
15-er.
Yeah, they're all 15. By the way, it's the same in New
York.
Here's
why I'm nervous.
It's 15 minutes in New York.
Here's why I'm nervous.
Yeah.
It's my first time doing the store since the name went up.
Who cares?
And, you know, it's the fucking store. It's going to be like Sebastian, Bert. It's going to be all these crazy famous people.
No, it's
and
not.
I'm going to be sandwiched in between all of them. And it's making me nervous.
But
Sandler's going to drop in and
no,
everyone's going to go,
not.
Oh my, coming, you know.
Wait till you see how unimpressive the lineup is going to be. You're going to go up there. It's going to be nobody. Would it make you feel better if it's no one?
Oh, I would love that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be nobody.
I would love that. But Emily said it's a really good lineup tonight.
Yeah, it is. I saw.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Where do you see it? How do you see the lineup?
It's on fucking line.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, look it up right now. Seriously, this is fun.
All right.
But really, don't do a bit. Like, really read it to me.
Okay.
Like, I want to do a truthful thing here. Because it's funnier if it's real and I get freaked out.
Oh, you do want to be freaked out.
I want it just to be real. It's just going to be funnier if it's real.
Cat Williams.
Stop it. Come on, do it for real.
Yeah, because you're in the OR, right?
I think.
You got to be. Segura.
Segura. It'd be nice to see Tom.
I love Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, are you in the... Yeah, you're in the OR, right? You got to be.
I don't know.
Yeah, you got to be. Well, you're not in the main. Maybe you are.
Well, the main's a lot easier.
Main is me, Jeselnik, Bert.
That's for Annie's show, though, right?
Annie's show. Yeah, you're not.
Yeah,
doing
I'm not on Annie's show.
You're not.
No, 10:40. That's got to be the original.
Oh no, you're in the OR then.
Okay.
Yeah, the OR is going to be you, Segura, Brad Williams, Jesus Trejo, Laura Peake. That's all that this says.
The five of us or four of us?
No, it doesn't have the full lineup. That's all they're posting right now.
They're already, it's people that kill harder than I want for this evening.
You're going to be totally fine. You're going to be totally fine. Not only are you totally fine, who cares?
Yeah, you're right.
You've always done good. Who cares?
I'm contradicting the whole I stared into the face of the demon thing.
Yeah, you are.
I'm getting
because you need to stare in the face.
I'm getting nervous, and I'm like, what if I bomb, and then they don't like me, and then I...
Let's get you a veal parmesan, and you won't care anymore. We end the episode the same way. Go to joedarosacomedy.com. What is it called? What's your website?
No, just joedarosa.com.
Go to joedarosa.com. That's where you're going to find the tickets to go see this gentleman. He deserves to sell out everywhere he goes. He's one of my best buddies, one of my favorite comedian friends. That's also true, because I have a lot of friends that I don't like their comedy. And I'll put a list up right here of all the guys that I'm friends with. My editor will put a list here of all the guys I'm friends with that I don't like their comedy. And I love you, Joe, so much.
You. Thanks, buddy.
Rosie, and look in that camera.
Also, Joey Rose is in New York.
Go to Joey Rose's, the bar and a sandwich shop, which we've talked about on our shows endlessly and plugging because we love it.
JoeyRose's.com. That's open 7 days a week, 11:30 a.m. every day.
East Village, right?
Yeah, or Lower East Side.
Lower East Side.
174 Rivington Street. Great sandwiches, awesome drinks, fun bar. Come through and then come see me on the road.
Go see him on the road.
You know, wherever.
Also,
I'm
watch
be.
Taste Buds.
Yes, please.
What a fucking funny show.
And we'll see you in Hell's, the other pod. So,
see you in Hell and Taste Buds. Yeah. Go see the boy. Look in that camera right there. One word or one phrase to end the episode. One word or one phrase.
I know this much.
In here, we pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey. $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.